It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, this week we're going to find out what it means to be a life coach, what it means to be a counselor in your neck of the woods, kind of what you do. I think we've talked about these things. Of course, it comes through when we discuss issues. But you wanted to kind of put down your philosophy of how you do counseling?
Yeah, I just thought we do this occasionally, but I thought I would just kind of go through a little bit about my practice, kind of what I do, and the people listening, see if it's something that they're interested in. But so I thought I'd kind of just go through some of the tools. I basically, every counselor probably has a little bit of a different approach, and I am a Bible-based counselor. What I mean by that is that I grew up in a Christian home. My worldview is Bible-based. Most of my clients, in fact, almost all my clients are believers, Christians. And, I've heard from people sometimes that come to me and say, I saw another counselor that was supposed to be a Christian because it was a Christian organization or it was, under a Christian counseling umbrella, and they didn't seem to be, their counseling didn't seem to be Bible-based. And I understand that there are Christians out there who are counselors, and they have more of a secular approach to it. I have a biblical approach to it, not that it's pastoral counseling. So scripture comes up quite often, but it's not just around scripture. That's kind of a more of a pastoral. I do use techniques that not book learned techniques, but they reflect sometimes, or they're similar to techniques that you might have read about or studied in school. But these are things that are pretty much I have developed these models myself, and I use them in my own life. Which is why I have so much confidence.
Yeah, as I've gotten to know you, you are quite innovative. You have developed a lot of your own approaches to things. In fact, you have. What is this this book tabulator thing that you do or whatever that psychologists use all around the world, and you've involved in lawsuits with people trying to rip you off and things. And what is that again?
Well, it's an indexing system for the DSM, Diagnostic Statistical Manual,
which is a secular manual, but you've been able to kind of decipher it and make it more useful.
It's the Bible of the psychology profession, and oddly, I don't embrace the DSM.
That's what's so interesting, because that's like the Bible of the secular approach to counseling.
Yeah.
But you've tried to help people to make sense of it.
And the indexing system is just a way for students, primarily students, but professionals use it too, to just they have indexing systems for the Bible. You can go quickly through it and find the book that you want. Mm-hmm. This is for that.
So that would be the secular approach. In a nutshell, when you say the secular approach to counseling, what do you mean by that? So people can spot that maybe. What's a more of a secular approach?
So the secular approach would be obviously it's not Christ-centered, it's not Bible-centered, it's based on the kind of the history of the psychiatric profession, and
Freud and some of these people.
Freud.
Mm-hmm. Analysis and going back into your past lives. And things like that.
I use some of that. There's one approach called rational emotive, which means that if you think about things different, you'll feel different about them. That's pretty common sense. Mm. That's true. Mm. I like Abraham Maslow's hierarchy. That is very true. Mm. And I know that there are people out there that believe that's been defunct, but it's typically people that didn't understand the hierarchy to begin with. Mm. Because, the hierarchy just basically says that you're going to meet your most dire needs before you meet the others
when you say secular, a lot of these things, they're not necessarily wrong. I mean, there's a lot, all truth is God's truth. And it seems like the modern psychiatry and psychology movement has, unfortunately, has kind of usurped the place of, mm-hmm. of biblical counseling and yeah. biblical wisdom.
And they tend to be humanistic, mm-hmm. materialistic, atheistic.
Man is the center.
Correct.
And that
yeah.
man or people are basically good, maybe, yeah. too, which mm-hmm. is the Bible base is, yeah. no, people are basically, they have a sin problem mm-hmm. and selfishness. Yeah.
And a lot of the secular models would say that it isn't because you're evil, it's because you've been taught about evil. And
right.
so you're living under this condemnation and guilt and shame. And,
right. And it's all about getting rid of that shame, yeah. which is not real. Yeah. And then, yeah. you know, it's kind of a hang
and,
up.
And, yeah. By, yeah. And
religion, a lot of times, is the enemy of the secular counselor.
Yeah.
They think it's
a
neurosis or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, you know, I have a standard approach. Of course, every client is unique and their needs are unique and their personalities are unique. But there are some common, obviously common threads too, that run through all, regardless of the situation. There are some things that are common. And so I have some basic things that I draw from and apply them in different ways. So obviously listening is a big part of counseling. I have to listen and get information and listen.
You're not just listening to your own voice in a counseling session.
Right. No, you know, I need the information from the client and,
right.
and the client's, I need the client's perspective, you know, my perspective might not be the same. They may be concerned, worried about something that I wouldn't worry about, but it's not my reality that we're having to fix. Mm-hmm. So I need to.
Well, you've got to use this term here: listening and finding them mm-hmm. on the map.
Yeah, I think of you know, you can't lead if you haven't been there yourself. And so a lot of the reasons that I believe I connect very well with people is because I have been through these things myself. And so I'm not just teaching by rote from things that I read in a book or through a class, but these are life experiences. And again, you know, being a believer and having gone through, you know, various stages in faith from, you know, just emotionalism and to kind of agnostic, doubting period of time and just, you know, gone through all those things.
So you've been there, done that with your faith
mm-hmm,
and
sure.
with groups
yeah.
you've been involved with.
Yeah. yeah. And so so I like to think of when people come to me and they're sharing their difficulties. And what I try to do is get a sense of what I've been through that's similar to that. And that's kind of like finding them on a map. If someone called you up and said, "Hey, I'm lost,
yeah.
Mark," and you would say, "Well, you know, tell me about your surroundings
a
little
landmarks.
Bit," you know, and they
mm-hmm.
would give you landmarks, mm-hmm. and you'd say, "Oh, I know where you're at." And mm-hmm. so it's kind of like that.
Sure.
One of the things that I consider myself kind of a more of a teacher, teaching people about how life works. I think mental health is basically life management. Life management externally and internally, you know, managing our environment. You know, I talk to parents about kids that can't clean their room and they have depression and anxiety. And so part of this is, well, you know, if you can't clean your external world, if you can't organize your external world, you're going to have depression, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not all there is to it. But
cleanliness
that's a big
part is next to godliness. So
yeah.
there's some truth to
uh-huh.
that.
Yeah, so I have some tools that I have developed, and one of the big tools is what I call life perspectives, and that is the idea in talking to a person about your world is either getting larger or smaller. So this could be a person who has addictions and they're living in a very small, self-centered world. They're pushing people away, pushing challenges away, and so one of the things I teach them in this life perspective is how to enlarge your world by pursuing relationships and pursuing challenges. And this is also a model that I use, not just for this life management, but it's a perfect model for anger because as your world gets smaller, you're retreating back toward anxiety, depression, which are forms of anger, and it's all based in fear and shame. You know, I tell people, teach people, everyone is afraid. We're all afraid because we're mortal. And whether you're an agnostic or an atheist or a believer in Christ, you have to deal with death, and that's the thing that you have no choice over. So, so we have a kind of an abiding fear. We're under a death sentence. Now, a secular model will say, you know, well, just kind of an existential thing, you know, make things happen in your life, do interesting things, and keep the black dog, I think is what Churchill, you know, I guess called it. He had depression and called it a black dog. So keeping the dog off by doing things that are interesting, you know, skydive, bungee jump, travel. The Christian approach is that you find your fulfillment in the purpose of God and serving other people in the body of Christ and in ministry. And so life management deals with addictions, it deals with anger, it deals with anxiety, depression. It's a basic model, but it's useful in all those different applications, and it is a total life management model. And I use it myself. I developed it from my own life struggles. So I think part of that is just having developed it through my own life struggles, I understand how it works and I understand how it can work for people. So that's one of the things. Another thing I talk to a lot of people about that fits in with this, in fact, all of the tools are kind of, they're interrelated, which would probably make sense because they're from my perspective. But one of the things I talk to people about is personalities and what personalities are. I teach them as defense mechanisms, how they develop. They developed as defense mechanisms. And so, we can recognize our own defense mechanisms and other people's defense mechanisms. But we can enlarge our personality. It doesn't have to be fear-based. We can venture out from our defense mechanism, the core of our personality, and we can become more vulnerable and meet other people who have become vulnerable. I actually talk to married couples a lot about this because ideally that's what the marriage is supposed to be, the husband and wife. There's the two individuals that have ventured out from their defense mechanisms and they engage and their personalities overlap and they can even grow their relationship, their personality and their relationship by empathy, shared reality, and shared boundaries. So I teach about empathy, shared reality, shared boundaries, and increasing the intimacy in the marriage. There's also another one, can introduce it and talk about it when we come back, but it has to do with tracking your emotions, your behaviors, and your beliefs and the relationship between those. There's a little diagram. I should probably share that when I come back because it's going to take a little bit of time.
Okay.
Looking
at how you do your counseling, kind of what is involved in your approach to counseling, looking at tools, handles, and coaching, and we will get into more of that here in just a moment. People are intrigued by your approach to counseling and life coaching. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. There is an email address at thebiblebasedcounselor.com, and if you do try to contact me, try to provide more than one way for me to get back to you. If you're emailing me, give me a phone number. If you're phoning me, make sure your voicemail box is empty enough that I can leave you a message if I can't get a hold of you. Also, offices in Kirtland and Edmonds, and doing a good bit of Zoom now that people have found out how convenient that is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is bringing us through kind of his approach to counseling, biblical counseling and life coaching, and going through some of the tools you use on just all kinds of different issues people face.
Yeah, so we were talking just as we broke off to go into the break, I was talking about what I call just refer to it as BEB. And BEB, behavior, or beliefs, emotions, behaviors. Every behavior is preceded by an emotion, and every emotion is preceded by a belief or based on a belief. I've tested this out with behaviors like putting salt on your eggs or using your hands when you're talking. And so it's not it turns out to be true. Although it's more subtle than obviously, it's not. It's can be subtle, obviously, if you're putting eggs salt on your eggs, and you're wondering what is the emotion and what is the belief. So some beliefs and emotion are some beliefs don't have narratives. You could build a narrative to it, but the important thing of this beliefs, emotions, behavior is people will catch themselves either having a behavior that they want to deal with, or an emotion that they have to deal with. And so I teach people that ultimately you're going to be looking at your beliefs, because your emotions are based on your beliefs and your behaviors are based on your emotions. So that's one of the tools that I use. Another one I've got down here, OXO, and that means the operation of order of operation. And that really is a five steps to change. And so I have people identify their objective, their goal. Do they have to change to reach that goal? We calculate the cost of not reaching that goal. You don't change a behavior unless it costs you something you're not willing to pay. And so this model for change has to do with stopping an addiction, changing a behavior, communication styles, social behaviors that are drawing attention. You want to change those things. Maybe you want to change your direction in life. So these five steps, identifying the objective, affirming that you have to change, and then what are you going to change and how are you going to measure your change. And then we talk about making a mission statement, a short mission statement, to include all those four other steps. And then the mission statement would be something like a bookmarker or a screensaver or something, so that you would be something that you see every day to remind
you. Your approach is very directive, too. Mm-hmm. You don't just kind of let people wallow in stuff. You really work on constructive, directive kinds of things to do.
Yeah. It's I think when people come and pay for counseling, they're wanting you to know something and be able to tell them and help them, and not just sit and listen to them talk in circles. So I listen to people, but I think they want help and they want insights, and so that's what I offer. For relationships, marriage relationships, I talk about trust, forgiveness, and communion. We do a lot of work in that. I call that the love triad, and we do a lot of work in communication styles. Now, those were tools, and then I have what I call handles. So each one of those tools, as I'm going through those and teaching those tools, each tool is a body of information, and some of it can be, can take a counseling session to discuss and lay out one of those tools. Well, tools need handles, because what these tools are meant to do is they're meant to have the kind of information that you want to get to in a hurry when you're struggling, when you're having a temptation in that addictive behavior, or when you're in a situation that you're getting angry, or in a communication problem that you need problem resolution. You want to be able to get to these tools in a quick hurry. So there are handles, and handles would be what ways of getting from to different parts of your brain. This information, these tools, are going to be stored in your frontal cortex area of your brain, and the left and right hemispheres too. But you want to be able to get to those. And if you're very emotional, well, that's another part of your brain. So some of these handles are a help to get people out of their emotions and into their logic, and so they recall these tools more quickly. So the handles can be abbreviations. They can be questions that we ask ourselves, like the life perspective. One of the handles is VCP, value, control, and power. Beliefs, emotions, behaviors, BEB. OXO, those could be handles, or it could be questions that you ask yourself, or statements that you make to yourself. My world is getting too small. So these are all specific handles that people learn as part of the learning process, and these each handle represents, and people develop their own handles, but they're ways of reminding me of the body of information. And just the memory of the body of information is kind of gets me back on point in terms of controlling my emotions and controlling my behaviors. So, and then I was going to say, counseling becomes coaching. The tools are taught, and then it's, you know, then we're coaching on how you use the tools. And that's a matter of motivating and, you know, it's application, motivation, application, and review. So people can learn the tools in a relatively short period of time, but then it's a matter of actually synthesizing those into their life or having them, you know, working them into their life. And so that can involve some review. I sometimes have people come and they feel bad about, we've gone over this and they'll apologize. I'm sorry. We have to go over this again. Well, no, that's part of learning is to review it and review it and review it. And so it needs to get worked into your life until these tools become your tools. And you tweak them and you hone them and you change them here and there till they become your second nature.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. And so coaching, I talk about motivation. I talk about application. Coaching generally involves more application of scripture too, because it is Bible-based counseling. And a lot of times, when I say not a lot of times, but generally speaking, it's good to for believers to go back after learning these tools and their applications, and then go back and find scriptures that actually affirm that these tools are biblical tools. So they have scripture verses, Romans 8:28, and, you know, like Hebrews 12:1, casting aside every weight and the sin that easily besets you, and run with patience the race set before you. So we talk about what is the race set before you? What's the purpose in your life? You know, if you don't.
What about, like, are you scripture memorization? Is that part of this too? Or?
Well, I don't. People that I talk to a lot of times will have a memorization program that they use, and one of the things that's become clear to me. You know, I think every Christian has come into those times when they've come through something. They've gotten angry and then later wish they hadn't, or they've got into a conversation that they wish they would have witnessed, and then later on they wish they had, but they missed an opportunity, or different things like that. A temptation, a person that's trying to break an addictive pattern. They slip up, and then later they wish. And a verse comes to mind, and they're thinking, I wish I'd have remembered that verse earlier. And the thing is that if we continue to read the scripture, we have a much better chance of those scriptures popping up when we need them, and not after the fact. So I emphasize for people in managing life, you need fellowship. You need fellowship in the body of Christ. You need, you need some close friends. You need a ministry. Something where you're serving other people, because, you know, the way one of the main things out of depression and anxiety is getting away from attention, you know, too much self-absorption, and just starting looking at ways that you can center or serve other people. Scripture, church attendance, I think is, and not just church attendance to sit on the pew, but to get to know people's names.
What about small groups?
Small groups are good. Anything where you have the, you know, I meet so many people, particularly older people, but sometimes younger, older people being, you know, 50s and up from that, that tell me that they don't have any friends.
Yeah,
and of course, to have friends, you need to get where people are. And you need to find out people's names, and then from there you need to be interested in their life, and that's how you find out where if you have common ground.
Well, a lot of men don't seem to have friends, too. It seems women seem to do better at this.
Yeah.
But men, a lot of times, lucky if they have one or two friends.
Yeah, and that's a whole – that's probably a whole show. But I hear people say that now. But it's not always that way. I know I because of what I do and because, you know, when my wife and I have been to various churches where I've been able to get connected with men because there's been a building program. And it seems like in churches there can be sometimes more opportunities for men to connect with men than sometimes for women to connect with women, particularly if the women are, you know, taking care of kids at home, working and taking care of kids at home. Things can get pretty busy. But friendships are important, and they're not all the same. Relationships are – sometimes you have close relationships, but for most of us, you might have one or two people that you have a close relationship. But you have – it's like a flower arrangement. They're not all blossoms. And so some of the relationships in some relationships, we have them because we serve those people. But different groups, home groups, fellowship groups. I know some people that attend one church because they have close relationships with the congregation, but they don't really get the depth of teaching that they want. So they'll go to another home group or online.
People get so much teaching now online. Who can compete with some of that?
Yeah.
Well, so many ways to address the problems people face with your approach to counseling. People are intrigued. They want to find out more about your services. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Office is in Kirkland and Edmonds. The website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, has the podcasts from these radio shows. I also have another website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, where I have articles there that I've mentioned from time to time. And also want to mention that we do a lot of Skype counseling nowadays, that people have kind of become accustomed to that, and it can be convenient for scheduling and et cetera.
Okay, always great stuff. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.